Isaiah chapter number 9. Isaiah chapter number 9. And we're going to read verses 6 and 7. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. I'll give you just a moment to turn there. If you have a Scofield Bible, it's page 721. We had our Christmas get-together with Mom last night, and boy, we enjoyed it and had a good time, had a good meal together. But I was thinking a minute ago about that good meal. I'm almost ready for another one. That's something about that. We eat, and we just enjoy it very much, and it's not long we're ready to eat again. And you know, that's how it ought to be spiritually as well. We ought to be hungry for the Word of God and the things of God. So I hope you're hungering after spiritual things today, that we might receive a blessing from the Lord. Isaiah chapter number 9, verses 6 and 7. We'll read those verses and then go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your blessings today and all that you've done for us. And dear Lord, as we come this morning, we pray and we ask. Lord, we just pray you'd be with them today. Help them to just have wisdom. Lord, we just want to hold them up, though. They were even going to sing this morning. And so, Lord, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we're glad that you know. God, we pray you'd be with them. We pray you'd bless and help in the message this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, we have many things that we're praying about, people that are sick. Lord, we want to remember Sister Mary and James this morning. Be with them, especially, God, so many. I don't want to fail to forget anybody, but Lord, you know each and every one. So Lord, help right now. We pray you'd bind the devil. We pray you'd speak to our hearts from the Word of God. If there'd be one here that's lost, I pray you'd show them their great need of salvation. Encourage us from the Word of God. Help us, Lord, that we might have our eyes and hearts upon the things of God. And we might be able to rejoice in what Christmas is really all about. We ask for your help right now. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. All right, let's read verse number 6 one more time just to get started this morning. The Bible says, "Therefore unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Isn't that a blessing from the Word of God this morning? Scripture concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to begin this morning with some of this year's headlines concerning the current war on Christmas. Do you know there's a war on or against Christmas being raged out here in the world today? These are some current headlines, Christmas time 2013. From Washington State, residents offended by Merry Christmas signs. They didn't want signs up in their community that said Merry Christmas. From Reno, Nevada, "Goodbye Christmas tree, hello holiday tree. From the state of Colorado, kids, parents, fight back after humanist group threatens another school over Christmas toy drive. Shame on anybody that would try to gather toys for children at Christmas. That's actually going on in our nation today. In Wisconsin, Wisconsin school cracks down on religious Christmas music. And there's also in New Jersey, they had in the headlines against Christmas music in the government school. South Carolina, there's a school down there, bans Joy to the World. You know, some of that's just about funny if it wasn't so sad. Who would ban Joy to the World? Well, the government would. And in Georgia, in their school program, No Baby Jesus. In Georgia, school confiscates Christmas cards. Can you imagine that? Going to school, you know, when I was in school, they might say, give me your baseball cards. They might tell you to spit out your chewing gum, but can you imagine going around and confiscating Christmas cards from children? But this is something that's happened. In Texas, school bans Christmas tree along with the colors red and green. Air Force, here's another one. Air Force removes nativity scene. And the first sentence of the headline said, the baby Jesus has been kicked off Shaw Air Force Base in South Carolina. That was the last place I was stationed in the Air Force. Shaw Air Force Base. And on and on we could go with such silly things as this. This morning, that was just a sampling of the current war against Christmas. And it was the same thing last year, and it'll be the same thing next year if the Lord doesn't return. But it's not my desire this morning to bring a negative message about these things, but I want to bring a positive message this morning. Our verse number 6 in Isaiah chapter number 9, we find 5 names of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you notice that? It said unto us, a son is born. And it goes on down, it says, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And I really like this. The Prince of Peace is what the Bible said. 5 names given to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says. His name shall be called. And as I was studying for this message, it took me about 10 or 15 minutes and studying my Bible and different resources that I have to identify from the Bible over 100 names given to the Lord Jesus Christ. We could come up just ourselves this morning from the Bible. I'm sure if we were to go around names of the Lord Jesus Christ attributed to him from the Bible. And I got to thinking about this. Do you realize how hard it would be to get rid of the thought of somebody that had so many names? It'd be hard to get rid of somebody like that. But the world is trying to. Look back just for example in Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14. Here's another name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. There's another name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, the name Emmanuel, it means God with us. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 21, the Bible said about the Lord Jesus to Mary, said, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. That's the Old Testament name Joshua. And it said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Many, many names given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to try to preach on the subject this morning. I want to preach on Merry Christmas, Xmas, Happy Holidays, and Santa Claus, whatever. That's what I want to preach on this morning. That's really the outline of the message that I want to preach. Merry Christmas, Xmas. You know how people put an X sometimes. Happy Holidays and Santa Claus, whatever. Whatever the world wants to call it. It makes no difference in the end. It is a vain, futile, childish attempt at the impossible to get rid of, to eradicate the Lord Jesus Christ from the scene. Though the world tries every year to get rid of Jesus Christ, they'll never be able to. Never be able to. And I will say this morning, it said that that Shaw Air Force Base kicks baby Jesus. The nativity scene is what they're talking about. Kicks baby Jesus off the Air Force Base. I want to say this morning that nobody kicks the Lord Jesus off of or out of anything. If you go somewhere and you don't find the Lord Jesus there, it's because he left of his own free will. That's the only way you'll ever get rid of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll leave of his own free will. These places where you won't find the Lord Jesus, but it's not because they kicked him out. It's because he left. And we could find examples of that from the Bible. In the Old Testament, they named a child over there Ichabod. When the enemy overran the Israelites, and you remember Eli, he died, he fell over and hit his head and he died. And his daughter-in-law had a child, and they named him Ichabod. And that name Ichabod, it means the glory of God is departed. The Lord may leave, but you'll never kick him out. If he's nowhere to be found, it's because he left. But I want to point out some things this morning about Merry Christmas and Xmas and all these things. First of all, Merry Christmas. Now, here in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6, notice what the Bible says first of all. It says, "For unto us a child is born." Unto us a child is born. You know that's talking about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no birth of anybody anywhere in the whole wide world that is remotely comparable to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll not find one person that their birth is celebrated worldwide by somebody in the world like the birth of this son that we're talking about. No president, no king, no leader. I happened to see on Kim's calendar the other day, and I don't know where she's buying her calendar at, but I wonder sometimes. But I think last week was the, I think maybe the 21st, the 20th, it said on her calendar, it said the emperor's birthday in Japan. You know what? I never knew that, and I don't care. But you know, you go anywhere in the world, and you'll find people, if you mention Christmas, they know exactly what you're talking about. Maybe not everybody, but there will be somebody that knows about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to celebrate Christmas in a few days, December the 25th. And I would say from my studies this morning, and you probably know this as well, that December 25th is not the proper date of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to get into that from Scripture this morning, but it was the Roman church that placed December the 25th as going to be the day to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They set that date because they wanted to replace a pagan festival with a Christian festival. The pagans, they had December 25th, and they had a big festival and a celebration in the Roman church. They changed it, and they said on December 25th, we are now going to recognize that as the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the pagans, they worshiped a false god. But have you ever thought about it like this? That whatever reason they did that for, and whether you like it or not, do you know what? It worked. It worked. Because nobody in the world today will go, or on Wednesday, nobody will go around and say to each other, Natalis Solis Invicti, Mary Mithras. That used to be Mithras. That was the name of their holiday. And it was the sun god that they were celebrating. But if you said to anybody, Mary Mithras, M-I-T-H-R-A-S, nobody would know what you're talking about. But if you go around and you say Merry Christmas to somebody, you know what? They know exactly what you're talking about. So whether you like it or not, it worked. Nobody recognizes that old pagan sun god. But people recognize when you're talking about Merry Christmas, what you're talking about. Now, there's a lot of people, they don't like to hear Merry Christmas. Did you know that? That's what a lot of the fuss is about, is saying Merry Christmas to each other, or Merry Christmas from a place of business or in a public school. And I could see how Merry Christmas would chafe a godless atheist that didn't want to be reminded about the Lord Jesus Christ. That sort of rub them the wrong way, don't you guess? Or an unhappy humanist. A lot of this humanist crowd that's out here attacking Christmas and Christian values and family values and all of these things. I know some of these people. I've never met a happy one. So I guess that might bother them when you say Merry Christmas to somebody like that. Or might be just some old rebellious, sad sinner out here, doesn't want to hear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I can see how that bothers some people to be told or to hear the phrase Merry Christmas. But I will say this morning, it's still Merry Christmas. You know, when Buddha was born, look over in Luke chapter number 2. Over in Luke chapter number 2, I want to say this. When Buddha was born, when Muhammad was born, there was no such thing as an angelic messenger. There was no heavenly choir attended the birth of these men that lived and died and are no longer here. But in Luke chapter number 2, we read what we generally referred to as the Christmas story. I want to read part of it this morning. Might be the only time this week some people hears it. But Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 8. Look what the Bible says. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And if you was out keeping sheep in the middle of the night, and angels came where you was, that might make you afraid too. That's not something that happens every day, is it? And the Bible said they were sore afraid. Verse 10, and the angel of the Lord said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Now, like verse 13, I like to imagine in my mind that when the angel made this announcement to the shepherd, that all the other angels that were attending upon that great birth announcement up to that point, just like it is now, they were hidden behind the veil which you and I cannot see. But do you know, on that night when that great birth announcement was made, the angels could not contain their silence any longer.
Verse 13 said, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. You talk about camp meeting in heaven. Can't you imagine what happened on that night? The multitude, heavenly hosts, that's angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Boy, I tell you what, if we can't say Merry Christmas, it's a sad world we live in. The angels told one another and told the whole world, good tidings, great joy, which shall be to all people. And when anybody says Merry Christmas to anybody else, you know what? They're just perpetuating that first birth announcement, Merry Christmas. I know people don't like to hear it, but so a lot of people, they say, well, we'll just X Christ out of that. You ever seen somebody put Xmas on something? Maybe a store. Boy, this used to really bother me bad. Maybe a store will have a sale, and they'll say they're having an X. Just, they don't write the name Christ. Just got a big old X. We're going to have an Xmas sale. Maybe you might even get a Christmas card. Maybe you might see that in a newspaper or something like that. And I used to think that would, and I even preached a message one time about Xing Christ out of Christmas. And that used to really bother me. And I thought that it was an attempt, and it might be on some people's part, to X Christ out of Christmas. But look here in Luke chapter 2 verse 11 what the Bible says. It says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is, here's another name, Christ the Lord. That word Christ there, Christ the Lord, in the Greek language, that's the word Christos. And it means this, the anointed one. It means the Messiah. Christ is where the Jewish people would say the Messiah. We're looking for the Messiah. We're looking for the anointed one. The Roman people, in the Greek language, they would use that same word, the Christ, the anointed one. Same word. Means same thing. But Christ here, he said his name is going to be Christ the Lord. And I found this out through studying history and reading about the early Christians and how they celebrated Christmas. And the name Christ there, when old brother Luke pinned it down, do you know in the Greek language that if you're writing the word Christos or Christ, you know, we say capital C. But you know, in the Greek language, it's a capital X. Capital X, to write the name Christos. And so when Brother Luke wrote Luke chapter 2, verse number 11, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and he said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ. He put a big old X right there. Then it's some other letters we recognize, some of them we don't. But I was reading about the history of Christmas. And one thing I was reading said that early Christians, sometimes they would abbreviate or shorten Christmas by putting an X, M-A-S, and everybody knew and recognized that as being that capital X standing for Christ. Sort of like you might see on the back of somebody's car, they might have a fish, what we'd say a fish symbol. People recognize that as a Christian symbol. And early Christians recognized a capital X as representing the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that interesting? But the fact is, this morning, in the sight of God, it makes no difference. Or in the sight of man. Everybody, if you see Xmas, you still know what that means, don't you? Nobody scratches their head and says, I wonder what that means. You see somebody put Xmas, you know that means Christmas. So people say Merry Christmas. People try to X Christ out of Christmas. And there's some that would say, we don't want to have any of that. We just rather say Happy Holidays. We don't want a Christmas tree. We want a holiday tree. That happens all the time. You know what? In Washington, D.C., they don't have a Christmas tree. They have a holiday tree. A lot of these governor's mansions, a lot of these city squares where they'll have a town tree, they've quit a long time ago calling it a Christmas tree. And these businesses, they'll tell their employees, they'll say, now we don't want to offend nobody. Don't say Merry Christmas. Say Happy Holidays. Happy Holidays is what some people say. Do you know happy is a Bible word? Is there anybody here this morning? Amen. Happy is a Bible word. God's people, of all people, ought to be the happiest in the world. And all through the Bible, the word happy is associated with God's people. To be happy means this. It means to be blessed. Are you blessed this morning? Are you blessed by anything? The word happy means to be fortunate. It means to be well off. It means to be secure. Brother Raymond was talking about during the Sunday school lesson this morning, you know, we studied about the rich young ruler and talking about him being rich, but you know what? We're rich compared to other nations in the world. We are blessed. We are fortunate. We are well off this morning. We ought to be happy as the people of God. Psalms 146 verse 5 says this, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. If your hope's in the right place, you can be happy. If your hope's in the wrong place, you're never going to be happy. But happy is he that hath his hope in the God of Jacob. That's the God of the Bible. I like this verse in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 14. The Bible says over there, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ. We could say right there, if you are reproached over the name Christmas, because many people are, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, look what the Bible says, happy are ye. Happy are ye. Happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. That's what the Bible says. So let's say, what's that mean, preacher? That means this, you go into a store. Now, I'm telling you, tomorrow or Tuesday, I'm going to start my Christmas shopping. I promise you that. I've got to get it done. This is coming up quicker than it usually does, so I've got to get out here and get started. And I'll go to some store and I'll make my purchase or two. And when I leave, I'll say, Merry Christmas. And somebody, you know, if you hit the right person, they don't like that, and they'll let you know it. They'll say, Happy Holidays. Now, what's that mean? That means that if you say Merry Christmas and they say Happy Holidays, you don't have to turn around and say, but Merry Christmas. Get in a fight right there in the store over there. That's what they're saying. They're saying, I'm not going to say Merry Christmas. I'm going to say Happy Holidays. If you obey 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 14, and you just do it like this, you say Merry Christmas, and they say Happy Holidays, you just turn around and say, Amen. Happy Holy Days to you too. I didn't say that wrong. If you look up in the Webster's Dictionary, you look up the word holiday, do you know what it says? In big black brackets, it says, see, holy day. Because a holiday is a holy day. Do you know that? So you can say happy holidays if you want to. It doesn't make any difference to me. It's still glorifying the Lord. It's still using biblical language to express a sentiment to somebody. So just say, Amen. Happy holy day to you too. Such as in Acts chapter 4, verse 27, where it calls the Lord Jesus Christ the Holy Child, that Holy Child. Or where it says over in Acts chapter number 3 and verse 14, he's called the Holy One. Mark chapter 1 verse 24, the Lord Jesus is called the Holy One of God. In Isaiah 41, 14, he's called the Holy One of Israel. And I am preaching out of the Holy Bible this morning, so it doesn't bother me to say happy holy days to somebody. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Xmas. Whatever people want to say. They're not going to get rid of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, preacher, what about Santa Claus? You know, there's a big deal made about Santa Claus, and I don't much care for Santa Claus. I've preached on that before. I've said this. I'm not going to give credit to an imaginary person for something I went out and bought and done. Or my wife did. But I know some people like to play up old Santa Claus. You know, Santa Claus is actually a Dutch pronunciation of a 4th century Christian. This man that we're talking about, he was a pastor. He was persecuted by the Emperor Diocletian. He was the bishop in the city of Myra, which is modern day Turkey. He was a preacher in the city of Myra. Some people call him Saint Nicholas. That's where Santa Claus comes from. Sometimes it's shortened to Saint Nick. And he became the saint of the country of Holland or the Netherlands, and the Dutch immigrants that came to New York City, they pronounced it like this, Sinterklaas. That's what they called Saint Nick, Sinterklaas. It's where we get our Santa Claus from. The name Santa Claus was an actual person that was a Christian that lived in the mid-300s. And old Saint Nicholas, he was a good-hearted old soul if you study about him. We've been studying church history this past semester in school. And Saint Nicholas, he had been left a fortune. He had been left some money. And he used that money instead of just keeping it all for himself. He liked to use his fortune to help others, to spread some cheer, to spread some goodwill around to others. He especially loved to help those that were less fortunate and families and be a blessing to children. And you know what? When he helped somebody, he didn't want nobody to know about it. That's how St. Nicholas was. You can't even have a company Christmas party and play Secret Santa without there being a reference to the original St. Nicholas. And the reason St. Nicholas didn't want anybody to know about what he done with his money is because he believed what the Word of God says when it says when you do your alms, don't let your right hand know what your left hand does. So that God gets the glory and not a man. That's the kind of person that Saint Nicholas was. And Saint Nicholas was an imitator of his master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Acts 10 and 38 says about the Lord Jesus, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. That's what the Lord Jesus did. He went about doing good. You know, this world wants good, but it doesn't want God. I was watching a program yesterday, watched a few minutes of it. One of these inspirational things, just on NBC, I think it was. The name of it was Courage in Sports. And it's telling these stories about people that had great difficulties to overcome. And one little boy, he was born without legs and ankles, and he had learned to play tennis, and it's talking about him. And then they had this foundation that people gave money to, and they called it Good in Sports. They're trying to get children off the streets and use sports for good. It's a good thing. I got no problem with that. But I'll tell you this morning, wherever you find good, you're going to find God.
Wherever you find anybody that wants to do good will, you're going to find somebody that's trying to imitate what the Lord Jesus Christ. You find anybody that has compassion on anybody else, that comes from God. I'll put it like this. All good comes from God. God has a pattern on everything that's good. And anybody that does any good, whether they would acknowledge it or not, they're imitating our Father in heaven. James chapter 1 verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good thing comes from God. He's got the pattern on it. You cannot do good without imitating our Heavenly Father. It's given us freely all things to enjoy. I think it says in the book of Romans, so amen, old Saint Nicholas, he went about doing good, trying to spread the gospel, got put in prison for it. He was persecuted for it, but he used what he had to be a blessing in this world. Amen, that's how we ought to be. We ought to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ, who went about doing good. So I say this morning, Merry Christmas, Xmas, Happy Holidays, Santa Claus, whatever, it does not matter. Because this world will never silence the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got too many names. You know, if you got to thinking about it this morning, if you's really going to do away with the Lord Jesus, boy, you'd have to do away with the law. Did you notice one of them schools wouldn't allow a Christmas tree or the colors red and green? What's that make you think of? Well, if you're a child of God, it makes you think of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And green makes me think of eternal life. Why would you outlaw the colors red and green? There's no stopping once you start. If you were going to eradicate the influence of the Lord Jesus, do you know, you'd have to do away with all the languages in the world. Because Jesus said, I am the bread of life. You can't eat a sandwich without thinking about Him. He said, I am the water of life. Boy, He's good. He said, I'm the door. You can't go through a door without thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Can't you just imagine it be the government that would say, we're going to take all the doors off the hinges. What are you going to hang up? A blanket in its place, I don't know. Change the name of it. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You'd have to get rid of all that. He's got well over 100 names. And all the colors, they relate to Him. And all the beauty in the world relates to Him. You'd have to get rid of a lot of people's names if you're going to get rid of the Lord Jesus Christ and the influence of the Bible. How many people in here has got a Bible name? Come on now. That's maybe almost half. You got a Bible name. I went over to the school the other day and taught that class. You remember me telling you I was going to go? And I was talking about our American history, and I was talking about the Scots-Irish immigration, and I got to telling about different names in our county and the heritage of the Appalachian Mountains. And boy, them young people begin to get interested, and they begin to ask me, well, what about this name? What about that name? They didn't care. First names, last names, it didn't matter to them. Where's my name come from? And there's one little boy, and he's standing there. He's raising his hand, and he said, what about David? What about David?
I said, well, David's a Bible name. He said, no, where's it come from? I said, it comes from, and it put me on the spot. I said, it come from Palestine, come from Judah, it come from Israel. He's a king in the Bible. Oh, he's excited. Who knows? Who knows that little boy might go home, get a copy of the Word of God. Boy, that thrills my heart this morning. Get interested. Yeah.
Amen.
He finds David. He wants it won't be long. He'll find the one.
Amen.
If you get rid of the influence of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have to wipe the stars out of the sky. Because he's the bright morning star. You're going to have to black out the sun because the Word of God says he's the Son of Righteousness. And he's coming with healing in his wings. You're going to have to get rid of all the hospitals and all the good things that are done to try to help sick people. Well, if you're going to get rid of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have to get rid of a lot of things. But you know what? They'll never get rid of him. So if you won't say happy holidays, that doesn't bother me. If you won't talk about Santa Claus, go right ahead. Help yourself. I know the truth about all of those things. But I want to say in closing this morning, and I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter number 2. I have got a proposition for all the haters that are out there. There's a lot of people, they just hate. They just hate Christmas. They hate Christ. They hate the mention. They allow all this other stuff, but no Jesus. No baby in a manger. No joy to the world. I got a proposition for people that are like that. I would like to encourage anybody. Might be somebody here today. I sort of doubt it. Maybe not. Somebody might hear the message on the radio or online. You know what? I'd like to encourage those that feel that way about the Lord Jesus. I'd like to encourage them to just switch sides. Because they're fighting a losing battle. They're fighting a losing battle. If you think you're going to get rid of the Lord Jesus and his word and his people, you're on the losing side. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 2, listen, if this doesn't make you think of people wanting to get rid of Christ at Christmas. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Remember what that word anointed means? Against Christ. Against the Messiah. Against the Lord Jesus. They say, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Let's get rid of them Christmas cards in the school. Take down the red and the green in the Christmas tree. We're tired of that. Take down them Merry Christmas signs out of the neighborhood. But verse 4 says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. When they're dead and gone, God's still on the throne.
Amen.
I'm going to get rid of God. How foolish. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord has sent unto me. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. And look, notice verse 12. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. You know what God's telling the kings of the earth? He's saying you better switch sides while you still can. You better kiss the Son while you got the opportunity. You'd better come under subjection to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, while you still can. And then it said, and I like this, blessed. You know what that word in the Bible means, that word blessed? It means this if you look it up. It means happy. Oh, how happy, with an exclamation point on the end. Look it up in your concordance. Happy. Oh, how happy, exclamation point on the end. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. You know, people can walk around sour if you say Merry Christmas to them. And that's so sad, because it doesn't have to be that way. If they knew what I knew about the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we could say we're blessed. We ought to be happy with the exclamation point upon the end of that, because He is our Savior. And this is not the end. We're pilgrims and strangers passing through. Isn't that a blessing? Kiss the Son while you got a chance, while you have an opportunity. So whatever people want to say, I don't mean that sarcastically, I mean that sincerely. Whatever you want to say, God's still God. He's still on the throne. The Lord Jesus is still coming. I'm still saved. If I die, I'm going to heaven. Boy, I got a lot to be thankful for. Isn't that a blessing? Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. I appreciate your good attention.